Coming up after the news, it's an extremely special Friday night edition of the mother of all talk shows with me, George Galloway. 08704-202020 is the number to call to speak to me and Mohammed Al-Fayed live on the radio for the first hour of the mother of all talk shows, back after the news.
Hey girls, it's George Galloway.
There's a need for an alternative point of view.
Next on Talk Sport. Yummy.
On 1089 and 1053 AM. George Galloway on Talk Sport.
Well, what a week it's been. At least for me. I've had a sore back all week. I've been limping all week, ever since I was on that horse that I told you about. I knew it was a bad idea. What I didn't tell you was that getting off the horse, I fell down. That's not by way of an insurance claim, by the way, to ITV. I have no intention of filing one. However, it's been a dramatic week all round. No sooner had we celebrated the great victory of Ireland at cricket over Pakistan, words that no one ever thought that they could ever speak, the legendary cricketer and cricket coach Bob Woolmer died. And no sooner had we begun to mourn his passing than the suspicion arose that in fact he'd been killed. And now we know that the whole thing is a murder mystery that Agatha Christie and Inspector Poirot couldn't have made up. The cricket team has departed the West Indies, having been presumably fingerprinted and DNA'd, and all sorts of other speculation. Even conspiracy theories are now doing the rounds. And then there was Gordon Brown's final budget. Well, they kept telling us it was his final budget. That presupposes that Tony Blair's telling the truth for once and is actually going to depart before the next budget. I suppose that's true, but As Gordon himself once said to Tony, there is nothing that you could say to me that I could believe anymore. So until I see him in the removal van backing out of Downing Street, I won't be myself entirely certain. And of course, in the Middle East, the situation goes from bad to worse as we, how shall I put it, celebrate, commemorate the fourth anniversary of the disastrous decision by the United States and Great Britain in the coalition of the killing to invade and occupy Iraq. It's going from the tragic to the farcical. Anyone who saw the television pictures of the Secretary General of the United Nations, no less, ducking underneath the podium as a mortar bomb arrived 50 yards from where he was speaking, just as he was about to announce an upgrading of the UN's presence in Baghdad because of, wait for it, the improved security situation. And today, the so-called deputy prime minister of the puppet regime in Baghdad is in hospital, having been blown up by a suicide bomber, along with his brother who was killed, several bodyguards who were killed, and several other worshippers. And the Royal Navy is under arrest, 15 British sailors under arrest in Iran, for allegedly straying into Iranian waters, and not for the first time. Troubled waters in the Gulf on both sides, the Arabian and Persian side of the Gulf. On the subject of the Persians, there's quite a storm going on about the new movie, 300, which purports to be a remake of the great swords and sandals spectacle of Steve Reeves, which I saw when I was a youngster, 300 Spartans, which was a very inspirational story, as I recall it, though it was best part of 40 years ago. But the remake of 300 portrays the Persians as almost subhuman. Computerized images are made to make them look, well, as Hollywood might want to make them look, now that the United States appears to be gearing up for war against Iran. Iran says it's war propaganda. I don't know if anyone's seen the movie yet. Don't even know if it's on general release. But if any listeners have any insight onto that, then it would be good to get their calls. 08704-202020 is the number to call. 810-89 is the number to text at 50 pence. plus the normal sending charges, or you can email me entirely for free through the website at talksport.net. And don't forget, you can continue the argument with me through my own website at georgegalloway.com. But first, in the first hour, I have a very special guest indeed, a man who doesn't often come on the radio, certainly not for 60 minutes, and certainly not with the very kind agreement to take listeners' calls and respond to them. Mohammed Al-Fayed is a controversial man. Well, I'd be the last person to say there was anything wrong with being a controversial man, but his controversies are particularly intense. He's been in court this week, again, seeking to make the proper arrangements so that the inquest into the death of Princess Diana and Mr. Al-Fayed's son, Dodi, is a fair one, and that all the questions that he has and others have can be properly answered, and that his day in court is not a fraudulent one, is not one that cheats us of any aspect of the truth. We're particularly grateful to Mohammed for coming on the Mother of All Talk Shows. We have had his spokesman, Michael Coles, on, and a very silver-tongued spokesman he was, too. You may recall a week or two ago, he treated us to a spellbinding exposition of exactly what Mr. Al-Fayed is claiming. But having heard from him, let's hear from the organ grinder, from the man himself, the chairman of Fulham, the owner of Harrods, dare I say it, the indefatigable campaigner for the truth of the Diana and Dodi mystery. Whether murder mystery or not depends on your point of view. Let's hear from Mohammed Al-Fayed. Wassalamu alaikum, Akh Mohammed.
Hello, how are you doing, George?
Alhamdulillah, very good. And thank you.
Okay?
Alhamdulillah, very good.
Everything
apart from a sore back, I've got a sore back. And I'm standing through this show.
What have you been doing?
Well, I was riding a horse for a television program, and it was
riding
the first horse I've ever been on.
So difficult in your age.
At my age, at my age, and it's the first time in my life even to touch
ride
a horse.
Ride a horse now, it's too late.
Wallahi, it was a big mistake, but the fee was good, Mohammed.
That's good.
Anyway, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
You're
on the Mother of All Talk Shows. I'm particularly grateful at your agreement to take calls, because we've got a lot of them on the boards, but before we go to the public, I would just like you to expound, if you will, what it was your people were doing in court this week, and then we'll widen it into the case as a whole.
As you know, it's a great fight for 10 years. Imagine, for 10 years, I can't find the truth. Is you think this is democracy, that somebody lost his son and can't get to the truth, all methods of covering up from one place to another? But thanks God, by my will and believing God, I will not let those gangster and official terrorists, you know, to get away what they have done to me and taking away my son from me, just the tremendous belief of racism, you know. How can my son fall in love with Diana and to be engaged, planning to get married? She was pregnant from him. They know about everything. They've been spying on them, listening to their mobile phone, to the satellite or on the boat. They've been spending the holiday. They know exactly what's going to happen. And for them to satisfy their greed, their belief that they're still living in 18th, 19th century, that they can eliminate and slaughter two innocent life. This is, at last, I've been given the chance to stand in court, in public, with my lawyers, with the press, with the public, watching the biggest cover-up on earth for murdering two innocent people.
And is it your concern, Akh Mohammed, that the the process will not be fair. Was that what you were in court for this week? Were you trying to get the ground rules correct?
Yeah, up till now they changed the coroner. They put this lady butler slaughter, a snobbish upper class baroness, to do their job. You know, she been instructed, and she been during the hearing just fighting all the time. She don't want to surrender the documents because Scotland Yard have a lot of documents who prove my point, right? And she been fighting not to accept to deliver the documents, but I think at the end my lawyers have confessed her legally. She have no right to keep or to protect any documents under the discovery rule.
Mr. Al-Fayed, that's an exceptional setting of the scene. We've got lots of people who want to talk to you. Please stay on the line, and we'll be back just in a second. This is George Galloway. This is the mother of all talk shows. 08704-2020 is the number to call to speak to me. More importantly, in the first hour, to speak to Mohammed Al-Fayed himself live on TalkSport Radio. Back in a second. This is George Galloway. This is the mother of all talk shows. And tonight it really is the mother of all talk shows. We have Mohammed Al-Fayed live on the radio for the first hour taking your calls. But before that, John Norman is watching the West Indies versus India. John, is it anything like last week?
Yeah, unfortunately, George, whereas last Saturday we could both celebrate, really, a famous Ireland win over Pakistan, this time round not so good for the Irish, as the West Indies have completed a routine victory, really, over Ireland by 8 wickets. A result never in doubt after they restricted the Irish to just 183, a score modified after a break for rain to 190. Shivran Chanderpaul with a terrific century, 102 he made off 113 balls, including 4 sixes and 10 fours, saw his side home. He was given able assistance by Ramnaresh Sarwan and also Marlon Samuels, who came on at the end, and he hit a 27 not out, including the winning 6, to see the West Indies home to victory. That means that they'll go through to the Super 8s, as Ireland do, of course, but it's the West Indies who'll go through with 3 wins and 3 under their belts, and of course those valuable 2 points as well, and an impressive looking run rate. So good news for West Indies and the home fans. They are through to the Super 8s with a 100% record, but Ireland can hold their heads up. They beat Pakistan, they drew with Zimbabwe, and they competed against the West Indies. But the story at Sabina Park is that the West Indies win this game by 8 wickets.
Well, we'll draw a veil over that scoreline. But then last week it was, of course, St. Patrick's Day, and what a St. Patrick's Day it was. Congratulations, though, to all our West Indian friends for that great victory. 08704-2020 is the number to call. We're talking to Mohammed Al-Fayed himself, live on the radio for the first hour. He's kindly consented to take people's calls. Welcome back, Mr. Al-Fayed.
I'm with you.
Let me go first, if I may, to Susan in Manchester. Susan, you have a question for Mr. Al-Fayed.
Yes, it's lovely to talk to you, Mr. Al-Fayed. And I have been following the story with great interest over the last few years, and I would just like to ask you, do you think that we can get to the truth with this inquest?
Well, I'm going to take 2 questions, and Mr. Al-Fayed can answer both of them at the same time. So let's go to Hossam in Southall to hear his question. Hossam, please.
Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad.
Wa alaikum salam.
Hello. First of all, let me just say to Muhammad, Ana Hazim innik faqadat ibnik, and I wanted to say, I was actually awake in the early mornings of the actual incoming reports. It was on Sky News. I used to have TeleWest. I remember it very well. I remember I was eating cheese and onion pasty in the morning. I was listening to the radio. I was looking at the news. I suffer from insomnia sometimes, so I know it. And so I would say that the reports, I'm sure it was on Talk Radio then, before it used to be called Talk Sport, the reports were that there was eyewitness reports, and some of the reporters on both Sky News were saying that Diana herself was actually upright and fine walking. I know you've heard this a lot of times before, but I remember it very specifically. It's been said a lot of times. I don't know, this doesn't really get put out into the wider circles because it's like people think it's like conspiracy theories or something, but I remember specifically that I was awake at the same time this is all happening. So I just wanted to say that, and I'm sad about the... It does seem like a cover-up to me from the British government colluding with the French, I think. It must be, because all these intricacies of what's happening, it's all... It doesn't seem to be a coincidence to me, and to the wider public, I feel.
Okay, thanks, Hossam.
Thank you.
Let me just take a third one. Let me go to John in London. John, welcome.
Welcome. Totally separate point. If the passport issue still exists with Mr. Al-Fayed, I think it's an absolute national disgrace, because I've met the man, he's a fine man, I think he's done a lot for the country, and he certainly deserves that recognition at least, and should have a British passport.
Well, it does seem extraordinary, doesn't it, that the man's good enough to run our biggest and best department store right in the centre of London, but not good enough, and good enough to bring Fulham Football Club up from the depths to where it stands now, and good enough to pay lots of taxes, but not good enough to get a British passport. When you think of some of the people who've got British passports, it is extraordinary.
Those were my thoughts. you've read my mind, George.
Okay. Now, I'm hoping that our line has improved with Mr. Al-Fayed. Has it improved? Shall I take another caller? I'll take another caller. I'll go to Marcus. I'm writing them all down. Don't worry. Mr. Al-Fayed will deal with them all. Marcus.
Hello there, George.
You're on the air.
Hi there, George.
Hi.
Yeah, I just wanted to speak to Mohammed and ask him that I'm with him, and I do believe that there is more to the death of Dodi and Dinah than meets the eye. And I wanted to know what me as a member of public can actually do to help him on this cause, because I do feel a bit helpless just sitting in front of the TV watching. I want to actually get out there and help him, and what can I do as a member of public to help him?
Okay, Marcus. Now, Mr. Al-Fayed, four questions there. The first one,
yeah.
Do you think we'll ever get to the truth through this process of the inquest? Second caller, is it remotely possible, the reports that we first heard, or one of our callers at least heard, that Princess Diana was upright and walking immediately after the accident? A third caller, making the point which I myself concur with, that given that you're a fit and proper person to run our biggest and best department store, you're the chairman of a Premiership football club, and you pay lots of tax to the Exchequer, is it not extraordinary that you still don't have a passport? And finally, Marcus in Harpenden, how can the public help you with your campaign?
Yeah, unfortunately, I won't tell the public that we are not living in democracy, right? It's a bullshit, it's baloney democracy, right? If really we live in democracy, you think somebody like me who gave 40 years of his life, have brought billions of business, have employed tens of thousands of people, paid billions in taxes, encouraged exports, you know? I brought billions of worth of construction contract in the Middle East to the British, and it's all well known, right?
Mm-hmm.
I saved the British economy in 1983, right, when the pound gone on the floor, right, by begging my friend the Sultan of Brunei to keep his reserves here with about 12 billion pounds, right? I had to fly personally to beg him. I came back, Margaret Thatcher was so grateful, right? She invited me in 10 Downing Street, and she asked the Sultan of Brunei to come. We have tea with her, and she nearly cried what I have done. You know, she can't believe that this is exactly what happened. Fine. Imagine the billions of taxes I pay in the last 40 years from business I run, and from my own house of freezer, 90 stores before, right? And all those bloody, you know, people who are ruling us behind the scene. It's a camouflaged, you know, dictatorship. Is the ruling power is the establishment and the bloody royal family who impose themselves, who suck the blood of this great country, great people, right? Which I feel sorry for them. God, you know, have blessed me. I'm not fearing nobody. I believe in God. I am doing my duty. Without me, the bloody Tony Blair will not be sitting in 10 Downing Street. I am the one who got the courage to destroy the bloody corrupt Tory party, right? Who have brought the sleaze to the surface, who have exposed the Tory party corruption, right? Three ministers, right? One of them I put him in prison, Jonathan Acton, a bloody crooked guy. He was the deputy minister of defense, right? Minister of procurement. I saw him sitting in my hotel in Paris making arm deals for Dennis Thatcher and Margaret Thatcher, right? Cashing in his bill being paid in my hotel by the arm dealers who is inviting him, fine? Me as a major taxpayer, I will accept to see a bloody minister sitting in my hotel making deals, right? For the people who pay blood to run the country and they cashing in. Margaret Thatcher, the biggest crooked prime minister on earth, right? She have collected hundreds of millions through her husband and her son, Mark Thatcher, fine, from deals through Jonathan Atkin. Tim Smith again, and the bloody Neil Hamilton, who have exposed those crooks, right? Who coming, taking money for me to go and put question in House of Commons. Those are the people who the poor British public and the ordinary people go like donkeys and elect those bloody people to sit in House of Commons, right?
Well,
some of them like you, you know, like George, you know, you can't just count them on a finger who people really go in politics for really defending their country, and but they are minority. But most of them, for me, are zombies doing nothing, just sitting there, cashing in, taking, you know, a position, making money, be consultant for company, you know. And this is what I see. I feel sorry for the ordinary people who pay blood to run this country.
This is Mohammed Al-Fayed speaking, extraordinarily frankly, live on the Mother of All Talk Shows, a very special Friday night special. And I'm going to take three more callers, Mr. Al-Fayed, right after this. This is George Galloway. This is the Mother of All Talk Shows, and what a talk show it is this evening. We have Mohammed Al-Fayed himself live on the radio for the first hour and taking your calls. So I'm going to take three callers, and Mr. Al-Fayed will answer them together. Can I go to Jim in Bristol? My control man has disappeared from my view. So whilst I'm waiting for him to come back into view, Mr. Al-Fayed, let me read some of the extraordinary torrent of texts and emails. Good evening, George. Please pass on my support to Mr. Al-Fayed. I truly hope he gets to the truth, says Louise in Edinburgh. Mr. Fayed, salam, just wishing to offer my condolences for your loss. May Allah give you sabr. Just remember that the justice of the Lord is incomparable. May you meet Dodi in Akhira, says Nadia. Let's hear from Jim in Bristol. Jim in Bristol. Not Jim in Bournemouth. Let's hear from Jim. Go ahead.
George?
Yes.
Yes, could Mr. Al-Fayed...
Oh no, that's the wrong Jim. Jim in Bournemouth's banned from this show. Let's hear from Jim in Bristol. Jim.
Hello, yeah.
Go ahead, speak to Mr. Al-Fayed.
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, Mr. Fayed. Yes,
hi.
I'm sorry for your loss of your son. It's an awful situation. I basically, beforehand, was very sort of cynical about the fact that it was a conspiracy and the murder. But what my question really is about the cleaning of the tunnel just after the murder.
Yeah.
On the car crash. For me, that's what... why did it happen so quickly, and what's your views on it? And basically, the other question is, who do you think is directly responsible for the deaths and the car crash?
That's a specific one, so let's ask Mr. Al-Fayed to answer that one directly now.
Yeah. Is the British intelligence, MI6, in collaboration with the French intelligence, they arrange everything with them. The driver of the car who worked in the Ritz security, he was an agent for MI6 and the French intelligence. He'd been briefed, been duped to take the way to the tunnel. There was paparazzi, but they are MI6 member and motorcycle, want to be sure that the car not to go to the Dodi's house in the Champs-Élysées, to push the car and be sure that the car go through this tunnel, which is a terrible tunnel being designed, especially with all columns with no barrier, right? Floodlights gone in the eyes of the driver, who's Henry Paul. Pushed another car also with another agent from the French intelligence, pushed the car to the column, and they execute him this way. And the guy whom I was relying, my security guy, is called Thierry Jones, who is also been terribly injured, you know, he's the only survivor. I spent £250,000, brought him plastic surgeon, putting security on him to keep him for 6 months, day and night. Without me, he will be dead now. And the bastards, after he recovered, and give already interviews to newspaper exactly what happened. The minute they saw the guard start talking, they turned the guy against me straight away and pay him a lot of money and appointed him deputy security for the United Nations in Timor Island. You think that's three security being in charge of Dodi and Diana, they turned them against me and left my job. It's black and white. And I know the two members of MI6, you know, with their names being there in Paris especially, you know. And it is, you can't just explain exactly the whole story, but I am the father who lost. I am the person who knows exactly what happened. I am the person who Diana lived 2 weeks before they killed her, you know. Holiday with her two sons, you know, William and Harry. And she told me the devastation, the threat she have. And she have a box with letter, threats, letters, tape recording, you know, especially from Prince Philip, you know. Taken away from his parents in Greece, one of them drunken and his mother was crazy. And his auntie, a German aunt in Germany, took away Prince Philip. When he was 6 years old, brought him up, and those auntie married Hitler general. You want a bloody guy ruling this country behind the scene, fine? You think he will accept my son as an Egyptian, right? Have anything to do with the future king of this country? Nope.
Mr. Al-Fayed, let's take some more calls because this is fascinating stuff. Let's go to David in Newcastle upon Tyne. David in Newcastle upon Tyne. Let's hear from him. David.
Mr. Fayed, the question I would like to ask you is, what do you think that Paul Burrell knows about this carry-on?
Paul Burrell knows everything, but he's a son of a bitch. He's a guy ungrateful. Diana told me personally, if there is anything happened to me, all the documents in a box in her bedroom, and Burrell will give it to you straight away. Ask him, and this is the proof with everything. The minute after the accident happened, I came from Paris with my somebody. I called Burrell. I say, Diana told me that and this, and you know exactly what's going to happen. Can you please keep on and just be sure this box has to come to me, because all the proofs what happened to her. If you care about Diana and you really have any sincere, you know, appreciation for all what she have done for you. I heard nothing from the guy. He took all these documents, fine. Some of it he wrote his book, some of the letter he sold it for hundreds of thousands of pounds. And the Scotland Yard, when he took these books and stole a lot of things from Diana, personal, her clothes, jewelry, a lot of things, Scotland Yard won and took away everything he got. For example, and the box is there, and this, because they know that the proofs are there in this box. because they're spying on her, they're listening on her, they know exactly what she told Beryl, you know. And this is the exactly, if you think, normal way, is this really democracy? And this is documents which now I am asked the coroner to deliver to my lawyers.
Mr. Al-Fayed, before I go to Chris in Preston, let me read a couple of emails to you. This is from Lisa in Edgware. Mr. Fayed, if the royal family really murdered your son and Diana, as you claim, surely they will not have any qualms about murdering you to finally shut you up. Are you aware of this fact? Are you adequately protected?
I have threats already, but I'm not frightened from nobody. Only God. I believe in God, and God will help me to find the truth and to help me to expose those gangsters, those official terrorists who can just slaughter people for the cause of their comfort and racism at the core. This is not acceptable. If I know, I believe 100% that it is God's wish that I lost my son and it's really accident and the driver was drunk, all the bullshit and the baloney they develop and publicize it straight away before they do any analysis in the morning. They say, okay, the driver was drunk and it's a car accident, you know. I know exactly what happened. And
okay, let's hear from Chris in Preston in Lancashire. Chris, you're welcome.
I have some views that I kind of wonder is behind the death of your son and Diana. I'd just like to know your comments on it. I believe that stated a lot of times we've got an elite, mainly from the Western world, that refer to a new world order consisting of military, industrial, governments, intelligence services. I believe that 9/11 was orchestrated to have Islam as an enemy, and on that basis be able to start the so-called war on terror that I believe that is being orchestrated by ourselves, not by other countries. And as a result of that, I believe that it would have been unacceptable to have a member of the royal family, a past royal family, marry a Muslim. Could I ask your comments on that?
Yeah, but this is part of it, definitely, definitely. Definitely, but I am not a religious person. I live in the country for 40 years. The royal family was, you know, chasing me everywhere, doing a lot of favor for them. I was sponsoring the Royal Horse Show for £15 million for nearly 18 years, right? And the minute this happened, they take the royal warrant, they cancel the ice, throw them in the garbage, you know, I don't care. My business go 10 times better than they bring me a bad luck when I have them on the wall, you know. And just, you know, exactly, they will not accept that my son with different religion, naturally tan, can do anything.
And
with.
Can I ask you, do you share the beliefs that this is be kind of undertaken by the elite of the Western world who
not elite, no, nothing have nothing to do with the elite. I know exactly what happened. I know Diana was so close to me. I was like a second father to her. I know the threat she have. I saw some of the letter of threats from Prince Philip directly and Prince Charles himself. Both of them are responsible for the murder of Diana and my son.
Mr. Al-Fayed, some more emails. I would like to say how much I respect your committed and dignified way that you have continued to fight for the truth relating to the murder, in my opinion, of your son and Diana. It makes me feel very proud to know that you will see this through to the end. I wish you hope and peace in your quest and wish you success as well. God bless, says Daniel from Swansea. Peace Villagers volunteer sending this all the way from southern Venezuela just to say I'm backing you 100% and to thank you for putting at stake so much to face this issue. A lot of emails in the same vein. You've clearly got a lot of supporters on the show tonight. Let's hear from Anne in Glasgow. Anne, you're through to Mr. Al-Fayed. Anne in Glasgow, we've lost her. Let's go to Greta in County Durham then. Go ahead, Greta. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Al-Fayed.
Yeah, hello.
I just want to wish you all the best.
Thank you.
To get British justice. I know what it's like. I'm having the same fight myself, trying to get some British justice for my late husband. So I really wish you lots of luck for yourself and your family.
Thanks.
As far as the driver is concerned, with they said he had carbon monoxide and alcohol in his blood. If he had the amount of carbon monoxide in his blood that they said, that man would not have been able to walk.
That's
never
right.
Mind
that's
drive
right.
A car.
Yeah. All this will appear. All this will go and show up because I also have not finished the court. Yeah, I still have two court cases in Paris, which I am sure a lot of proof will appear, and all those bastards who think that I am just talking hallucination, I say this, you know, a car, they telling this car accident, all the proof and all the reality of exactly what happened, it will come out, and those people who have really deprived me out of my son, they will pay the price.
Well, remarkable stuff. This is the mother of all talk shows. This is George Galloway with Mohammed Al-Fayed. For another 15 minutes, Mr. Al-Fayed will be on the line. We'll go to Simon in Acton, John in Northampton, Oliver in Huddersfield, and Anne in Glasgow after this. This is George Galloway. This is the mother of all talk shows every Friday and Saturday night between 10 and 1 a.m. 08704 202020 is the telephone number to join in. 81089, the number to text at 50 pence plus normal sending charges. Or you can email me for free, as hundreds of you are doing, through the website at talksport.net. I will pass on the emails for Mr. Al-Fayed because he's been very generous with his time. We've only got another 12 minutes or so with him. So I want to go quickly to Simon in Acton. Simon, welcome to the show, and you're through to Mr. Al-Fayed.
Thank you very much, George, and it's a pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you.
I'm speaking as somebody who's been in an accident myself and almost lost my life. It brought a whole lot of internal and mental rage for the last sort of 2 to 3 years. Obviously, I'm very appreciative of Mr. Al-Fayed's loss with his son. I have two children myself, and I couldn't imagine being in his position. Obviously, he wants answers. I don't feel he does himself very many favours in the fact that he seems to concentrate a lot on Diana. He wants answers as much for the questions of what happened with his son. I think the common sort of view is that even if due legal process and all evidence, I mean all the evidence that he claims he has, and I'm not going to dispute those claims because obviously I'm not in the position to do so, if all those pieces of evidence are actually considered and the law was to come down on the side that yes, it was an accident, would he be able to accept it? Because I feel that is very important for his own peace of mind.
Thank you, Simon. Let's go to Anne in Glasgow next. Anne in Glasgow, you're through to the mother of all talk shows and to Mr. Al-Fayed.
Good evening, George.
Good evening to you. Fire away.
I'd like to say, the night that Diana was killed, I was listening to the radio, heard the news flash, and constantly listened. And later on, there was an eyewitness who happened to be in the tunnel further back who said that she saw Diana leave the car into the ambulance with a thigh wound. Now, since then, I've never ever heard this eyewitness spoken of or anything about this ever again.
Okay, Anne, let's stay with the ladies and go to Sarah in Bournemouth. Sarah, you're on the mother of all talk shows and you're talking with Mohammed Al-Fayed.
Hi, George. Hi, Mr. Al-Fayed.
Hello.
I just feel that at the moment the whole situation's getting slightly undignified. Although I personally and most of the nation agree with Mr. Al-Fayed, the inquest has been and gone, and I feel that darker forces are at work.
What kind of dark forces do you have in mind, Sarah?
I don't know. I just feel, as with a lot of people, that there's been some sort of cover-up, and no matter how much Mr. Al-Fayed fights it and tries to justify it, that he'll never get to the bottom of it. He'll never discover exactly what happened.
Well, if anyone can, he can, because no one could have been as indefatigable in the pursuit of what he sees as the truth. Let's hear from Tony in Enfield. He thinks it was murder too. Tony, tell us why.
Hello, George, and hello, Mr. Fayed.
Hello.
I predicted this before it happened. I says exactly what was going on to my family. They said I was mad. I think it was a racist murder. The future king of the country, mother, possibly being married to a Muslim, not allowed. I don't know how they did it. I think they planned an accident, hoping they would injure in a very serious way. Bingo, she died. I think it was planned by probably somebody within the MI5. And one last thing to Mr. Fayed, do say hello to my nephew who works for him. So his name's Nick. But I do support Mr. Fayed, and I think the whole country knows it's awfully suspicious about this. I mean, she predicted it on when she was interviewed by Martin Bashir. She says that she knew her phones were being tapped and her faxes were being intercepted. To think the future king of the country's mother talking like this on a TV interview and saying she was afraid of the security services. And what do we hear about a few months later? She dies in a car crash. Of course it was murder. But Mr. Fayed, I give you 100% support.
Tony, that's excellent stuff. Let's go to Gillian. Gillian in Birmingham. Gillian, welcome to Talk Sport, and you're through to Mr. Al Fayed.
Hello, Mr. Fayed.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
I just want to pose a question. Knowing the strength of the establishment, do you believe that you will beat them and reveal the truth?
Tell us, Brother Muhammad.
Yeah, I can't hear. Can you repeat again, please?
Do you think, given the strength of the establishment,
yeah,
do you think you can beat them?
By God will and God believe that I will beat the bastards and I will expose exactly what happened.
I hope
to
so
my
too.
Son. And that is not because all what they claim, all what they put in the press is all baloney. Nobody believe. 95% of the nation support me. I have avalanches of letters and telephone calls and email on a daily basis, right? Which gives me the strength. And I have threats, but I am not frightened. And if anything happened to me, the whole world, they know that the bastards and the gangster and the official terrorist, you know, have also.
I hope you do it, Mr. Fayed. I really
but
do.
But I'm believing in God, and I hope I have God blessing to expose those gangsters, who people who ruling this country behind.
Let's hear from Peter in Brighton, who sees a parallel with the Kennedy assassination.
Yes, I rang you about a year ago, funny enough, about David Kelly. It's the only time I've rung his show, but I've listened ever since. Mr. Alfred, it's the greatest honour to have you on my humble telephone, sir. 1997 was the year when Tony Blair got in. It was also the year of his terrible, terrible death of your son and Dinah. And it was a shock after we'd all been raised up by the election of Blair, then this brought us all down. But you've kept on for 10 years. You kept out your campaign, sir, and well done for doing that. Jim Garrison with the Kennedy assassination, of course, he went in and he took them to court. It was the only prosecution ever happened, if we've seen the film JFK, which may not be absolutely true, of course, but it's a kind of truth. He brought them to court. You know, he didn't quite succeed, but he was probably the only person who walked out of that courtroom thinking that Lee Harvey Oswald had actually done the job. And, you know, 40 years later, we're still asking questions about Kennedy. I hope you don't have to ask questions about this for another 40 years. But yeah, you've had great resilience, and I respect you for that.
Thank you very much.
That's
thank
right, Mr. Alfayed.
Thank you for the support. Thank you, sir.
We haven't been to Northern Ireland yet, so let's go to Frank in Northern Ireland to get their perspective. Frank, fire away. You're on Talk Sport.
George, how the hell are you?
I'm well, sir. I'm well.
That's great. Listen, first things first, you're doing a great job.
Thank you, brother.
Okay, as far as Mr. Alfayed is concerned, Mr. Alfayed, what the hell can we do to help you?
Yes, there's a few people asking that, Brother Muhammad. Tell us, what can we do to help you?
Just the support. And, you know, just is enough to hear that I have, you know, a lot of people like you who support me and believe in what I'm just fighting the cause. I'm not doing only for myself, but I'm doing also for the ordinary people of this country.
But Mr. Alfayed, one question for you.
Yeah.
You have the media playing against you. Okay.
The media against me and who write, they are all plans of MI6 and MI5. They, and you know, they are everywhere. They are in the television. They are in the newspaper. And, you know, they having the message, and all the time they attacking me, but it doesn't affect me.
I'm vaccinated against those parcels, right?
You're a genuine character, you're a genuine man. All you're looking for is a result of the fact that you have lost your son. Is there anything that, as far as the UK and Northern Ireland is concerned, that we can do to help you?
Well, look, Frank, mashallah, by the grace of God, Mr. Al-Fayed doesn't need financial support from anyone. He doesn't need political support. He has faith in God. He has faith. We'll see if it's misplaced or not in the coroner's process. He's, of course, applying the belt and braces approach. He's glad to get the coroner's case, but he's determined that the ground rules should be established properly. It's been an extraordinary...
The jury from ordinary people will see that, and they will clear, and they put all the facts for the whole nation to understand that what happened to me and what I'm fighting for is just the real truth and nothing.
Inshallah, it all works out as you wish. Mr. Al-Fayed, it's been an extraordinary hour of radio, for which I thank you. And we've come to the end of the first hour, but there are 2 hours left to go. This is the mother of all talk shows. A big thank you and good night to Muhammad Al-Fayed.